our guest the last 2 hours today is Jerry Day, and he's got several websites, and I'll post them in the chat room. JerryDay.com. I'll post the rest of them in the chat room. But he has a lot to, he's always had a lot to tell us about smart meters and for so many other other things that are that are put into our lives that we need to take a stand against. So do we have our guest, Jerry? Okay, so anyway, our first guest, truly, you really do need to buy that book, and by all means watch the movie. And it's kind of an amazing thing that transpired because of his work and because of the things that he did, the chances that he took, the sacrifices that he made. He's a hero. He really is. He's a hero for doing what he did. Absolutely. So, okay, we got Jerry's answering machine. I did send him a notice or an email. I always send an email to my guests a couple of days before. So why don't we open the phone lines and we'll take some phone calls and perhaps talk about what we heard in the last hour. And so feel free to call in. And of course, the number is 800-313-9443. And talk about the situation. And it's not just DuPont. That's just one company. And we also, of course, talked about 3M. And I think you can apply this to other companies, other corporations, and for instance, all of the alphabet departments of the government, the FDA, the EPA, all of those companies, all of those entities are supposed to be protecting us, protecting our health, protecting our food, protecting the environment. But when you get right down to it, they just absolutely seem to be protecting the corporations and corporate profits. And I think that that's what is so awful, is that the corporations are the ones that are making the money, but they're making us sick. And it takes people like our guest, our last guest, to expose these things and to tell us what they're doing, and to have the fortitude and the ability. He had the ability. He was in the right place at the right time, and certainly I do believe in synchronicity. One of my very favorite films of all times was Aaron Brockovich, and I'm sure that a lot of people have seen that film, and it's one that I would watch over again. I don't go to the movies much. Well, I don't go to the movies hardly at all. But there are certain films that do, that are educational, that tell us a lot about what we can do to, or they expose a lot of things. And certainly, Aaron Brockovich did that very much in the same way that Robert Lott did. And what he did was help everybody. And and there are ways, I think, that people can help their situation, the situation with health. I think there are different protocols, different modalities that people can use in order to get better. And I think that sometimes we take chances with our health without actually knowing what we're doing. We take risks that we shouldn't be taking. for instance, if you drink distilled water, don't use plastic. I went through my house several years ago, and I got rid of all the aluminum. I don't use aluminum foil. I don't use aluminum cooking utensils. I don't use anything with aluminum, period. It does not exist in my house. Also, plastic. I don't put water in plastic jugs. I don't use plastic. I got rid of all of that stuff. I threw it away. And you just have to sweep through your house and clean up your own environment first, and then move forward. But and try to incorporate things into your life. You do? Perfect. All righty. Our guest is with us, our second guest, and our second guest is Jerry Day, and he has worked so hard in so many things regarding smart meters, and he's got a couple of websites, takebackyourpower.net and jerryday.com. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Anna, I want to do a correction there. Take Back Your Power is not my website. I'm at freedomtaker.com, and
Okay.
I'm at emfhelpcenter.com.
Okay. Freedom Taker. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Well, how are you today?
Yeah, very good, very good. What's on the ticket for discussion today?
Well, I think that everyone is very concerned, or at least should be concerned, about this crazy vaccine that Bill Gates is attempting to enforce everybody to take. And there are things that you have written, ways that you have indicated, I believe, at Freedom Taker, for not allowing yourself to be vaccinated, and
right.
ways that you can keep from being vaccinated, documents that you can sign or file. So tell us a little bit about those documents, if you would.
Okay, well, it's there are a couple we have posted, free download documents at freedomtaker.com. And one of them is you could refer to as a conditional acceptance. And this is kind of a legal trick, legal maneuver that sometimes becomes necessary when someone is pushing something that they're not really legally entitled to do or morally entitled to do. And that would be vaccines in this case. So we were concerned about what happens if vaccines become mandatory or they have some way of committing some force or coercion in order to get people to accept vaccines. Obviously, constitutionally, obviously, morally, you have no obligation to take an injection into your body without your consent. And but there are those people who are actually not aware of that and who don't seem to want to follow what's right or what's legal. And they have managed to convince a certain percentage of the population that vaccines are the answer to something to which actually our personal immune systems is the answer. And vaccines are not natural, they're not right, they're not ethical, they're not reliable, they're not, they can't be proved to be safe, they can't be proved to be effective. So there are a lot of people who are very aware of that. So the conditional acceptance form is one that says to whoever may be offering you this vaccine, or telling you that they are going to force you to have it, you don't want to outright refuse it, because then the discussion becomes not about the vaccine, but about the fact that you're refusing something that supposedly you're legally required to do. So you give them what's called a conditional acceptance, and that is a form that says, sure, I accept your vaccine on the condition that you can show me that it is safe and effective, and that there is no risk, and that if there is any risk whatsoever, that you personally will be accepting full liability for all costs and damages of any harm that that vaccine may cause me.
Wow. Now, just by simply
protecting your safety in that way, your health and safety in that way, by this conditional acceptance, you have now put the ball in their court, where you are accepting the vaccine if they can show that it's safe and if they can show that they will be liable. And that's not something that anyone is prepared to do. The police won't pay you if they damage you with forcing you to have a vaccine. The nurse won't pay you if they damage you for having the vaccine. Your legislator, who might pass some mandate law, will not pay you if they damage you with the vaccine. Well, wait a minute. You can vaccinate people if it's safe and if you're responsible for the damage, but you certainly cannot vaccinate people if you're not responsible for the damage and if it's not safe and if it's not effective. So that's simply a very reasonable protection of your health and safety, and so that conditional acceptance can be enforced, because if someone is telling you, no, I will not be liable for the damage and I will not assure the safety of this product, then on what grounds do you have to administer that to me forcibly or non-consensually? If you're admitting that it may be dangerous or you're not taking responsibility for the harm it caused, then how can you say that I can be legally required to accept this from you? You can't say that, because you're in the same breath, by refusing the conditional acceptance, they're admitting that there might be risks. So
wow.
So this is a very powerful thing to do. And when you offer the conditional acceptance and it is refused, and they say, no, I'm going to give you that vaccination anyway, even though I'm not going to take responsibility for the damage it causes, even though I can't assure its safety, I'm going to make you do it anyway, then you're going to say, no, I'm going to refuse. Because now your refusal is on the basis of them failing to show its safety and them failing to offer liability. So it's not your refusal on the basis of just violating the law. It's your refusal on the basis of their violating the law.
So
this is an important step. So there are two forms involved. The first form is the conditional acceptance, and the second form is the refusal. And this also can apply to COVID testing or any other medical procedure, because it actually, underneath it all, according to Nuremberg principles and many laws, it simply is not lawful to administer medicine to someone without their consent, and it's not lawful to administer medicine without a physician's license. And your legislators certainly do not have physician's licenses and certainly have no authority to administer medicine, and can be put in prison for practicing medicine without a license. And that would be probably the third and final step of this whole thing, is you just take someone to prison. You file them with charges of forcing medical treatment without consent of the patient and without physician's license qualifications, and you say, we got to get this person into prison. You know, if they're going to be prancing around among us telling us we have to be vaccinated with someone and they're not even a doctor, we got to get this person off the streets.
Now, what about the law that was just passed in Colorado regarding vaccines? They've decided that everyone's going to be vaccinated, or that children are going to be vaccinated, or they can't.
Obviously, if you're in Colorado, you need to immediately file some sort of criminal complaint against anyone who has purported to pass something like that. If these are legislators who have determined this law, and I haven't read the wording of that law, it'd be very important to look at the wording of that law, absolutely word for word, and see, are they really actually trying to compel vaccination, and are they or are they not licensed physicians? That's all you need to know, are those two things. If they're not really compelling the vaccination, then they're giving you some way to refuse it. If they are, then they must be licensed physicians, and they must have the consent of the patient for what they do. And if they don't have that, you file a criminal complaint. You literally go to the police and say, this person I want investigated. I want taken into custody. I want put under an indictment. I want to put under investigation. I want to get a prosecution going. I have been threatened with unlawful medical procedure, obviously in violation of international law.
Wow. That is amazing. And Richard Pan in California, he's behind a lot of the vaccine policies in California. And he is a was a pediatrician, may still be a pediatrician, and became a legislator. So there's a lot of laws that people just accept without realizing that they could refuse it. And of course, a lot of things too are kind of snuck into things. For instance, if you go and get your license or renew your driver's license or get your license for the first time, they ask you if you want to be an organ donor. And so you're actually signing up at the DMV to be an organ donor, which is obviously a medical procedure, and without a moment's thought, you could say yes.
Well, that is a big mistake if you ever do that.
Because oh, absolutely.
If you look at, I'm sure you know this, or maybe your listeners know this. If you look at what organ donation entails, it is not something that they do after you die.
It's something they do while you're alive. Yes.
You must be alive to donate your organs.
Yes.
And there are case after case after case where people, and they make a fortune when you do this, when they harvest your organs. And there is case after case where they have incentive to remove your organs, declare your death for other causes, and then make their fortune on your donated organs. And extract them, remove them from your body while you are alive. And in many cases, it's not even possible medically for you to be under anesthetic when they remove your organ. They have to remove it while you're alive and conscious. And, of course, depending on the organ, at that moment, you pass away. But they say, oh, no, she was in a car accident, and that's what killed her. And we made, $2.5 million on her organs. And, that wasn't what killed her. What killed her was the car accident.
Right.
So this is not something anyone should ever allow, to create this moral hazard where someone is going to have to harvest your organs while you're alive in order to complete this program. This is how it must be done. And this is what you're agreeing to if you offer to donate your organs.
Right. And actually, the hospital makes $11.2 million.
It would depend on which organs they harvest or what they do. I would assume, but there are millions of dollars to be made. These are free organ donations from people involuntarily who are actually killed by that donation, and so this is not a pretty thing. This is not this is not something that people should be even asked or required to do. I mean, there may be some very, very rare situation where that may be appropriate, but it has to be fully informed and fully consensual. And generally, it would be something that would be very, very detrimental to the last phases of a person's life in terms of how it would feel to have organs harvested from your body without anesthetic and while you're still alive.
Right. We've talked about that on this program before. Now you... Oh, okay. We're going to a really quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All right. Excuse me. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Jerry Day. Website is jerryday.com and freedomtaker.com. And let me just share an email from a listener. She says, the Moderna product about to be forced on everyone is not a vaccine. Instead, it is a new technology with no track record of safety and is synthetic RNA to perform genetic modification. Calling this stuff a vaccine misleads the public into believing it might be safe. What are your views on that?
Are you asking me, Deanna?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's been some discussion about not only is not even DNA material, altered material. There's discussion about they're going to be putting identification, sort of marker identification dyes and whatnot into this thing they're calling a vaccine. And I don't know if your listeners are familiar with Catherine Austin Fitz, who's researched.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, this is not a vaccine, you know, and so calling it a vaccine is just basically pure deception. And you know, there's even if it were a vaccine, they're coming up with research that indicates that this particular COVID-19 does not behave like other pathogens, and that it doesn't allow long-term or permanent immunity in any way, either by your body or by a vaccine. So there's the only thing a vaccine does is provide immunity. So if the pathogen itself is not susceptible to immunity, is not can't be controlled that way, then there's no sense to do a vaccine in the first place. So the question is, what is this thing? Who made it? How did they make it? Why did they make it? What is it doing to us? And who can be held accountable for releasing this into the public? That's something that, for some reason, is very lost from the discussion. And I think we've just started to hear some things about that, where everybody's blaming China. Well, China's a country. China didn't release it into the public. There are individuals who did. They may be Chinese. They may be something else. But those individuals need to be held accountable. There are markers in this pathogen that indicate that this was a lab-produced element, that this was, it contains certain aspects that are actually laboratory modified in order to make them that human bodies will be more susceptible to this pathogen. I think there's a term for it I'm sorry, but I'm not a chemist, but the pathogen is able to lock into the human metabolic system more easily because it was chemically and biologically altered to do so. So this is a pathogen that was deliberately created to be to make human beings sick. It was made in a way so that it would be more damaging to human beings. And it was done so by a laboratory, by scientists, by technicians. The pathogen carries those markers. It was modified with what they call the CRISPR method, the genetic modification method, and wherever it was derived from, it was given human markers, human aspects, so that it would be more toxic and more dangerous to human beings. So there's a crime here, and someone is answerable for that crime. So we'll have to deal with what this pathogen does to us ourselves. That's an individual choice, but we, as a society, we have to deal with the people who caused this, who created this, and who released this into the public. And until our public officials understand that, realize that, talk about that in public, and actually get busy doing something about that, they have no business calling themselves public officials. They're not serving or protecting us at all. They have to go after the people who caused this.
Right, like Fauci and
well, we don't know. We don't know who created the. I don't think Fauci was in a lab himself creating this pathogen. Fauci may certainly has been complicit in the improper public instructions of how to deal with it. He's obviously, promoting his own wealth and power and doing very bad things. And yes, you could probably certainly prosecute Anthony Fauci, but it might be for something different than creating the COVID-19 pathogen. So our law enforcement and our justice system has a lot of work to do and a lot of catching up to do with people like that, but especially those who would have introduced this pathogen into our public spaces.
Exactly. All righty, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. you should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract is got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
All right, we are back with our guest, Jerry Day, and his website is jerryday.com and freedomtaker.com. He's got so much information on this website. He even talks about the census workers, which is very interesting also. But you talk about EMFs, you cover everything, smart meters, all kinds of information. But the vaccine situation is really kind of in the forefront here with counties, states wanting to vaccinate people with God only knows what, and also the medical testing. They are testing people repeatedly. I know some people have been tested 3 or 4 times and tested negative each time. And so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, there is no real foolproof test for COVID-19. They don't even have, as far as I know, a real hard definition of what that is. And I was looking up this thing, which I was a little sketchy on, which is how human cells become susceptible to COVID-19, or how COVID-19 was made to sort of adapt to the human body. There's a website I found here, Gene NG News, that has a discussion about this. It says human cells and mice cells, which each express their own version of angiotensin converting enzyme to the membrane-bound receptor that serves as a convenient means of ingress for SARS-CoV-2. So this is one way to make it more susceptible to humans is processing it with mice cells. Because human ACE2 happens to be more welcoming than mouse ACE2, human COVID-19 isn't easily recapitulated into ordinary mouse models. Genetically engineered mouse models, however, promise to advance studies of COVID-19, whether they aim to detail disease mechanisms or evaluate COVID-19 vaccines and therapeutics. To ensure that SARS-CoV-2 gets a warm welcome in laboratory mice, scientists representing several research institutions in China have generated a mouse model expressing human ACE2 using CRISPR-Cas9 knock-in technology. The new model captures several features of human COVID-19, including the development of interstitial pneumonia, higher cytokine levels, and greater lung damage with increasing age and gastrointestinal systems symptoms. So this is exactly what COVID-19 is. We're being told by the fear mongers this is what it's doing. It is developing interstitial pneumonia, cytokine storms, and greater lung damage. And that's exactly what the pathogen was designed to do, and it was designed to do so in a laboratory. It was not something that evolved in nature or could have evolved in nature in the way that it has been presented.
Wow.
So,
because previously I thought, well, even a cold is a coronavirus, but this is totally different.
Yeah, so COVID-19, yes. And what they call SARS-CoV-2 is something very different from coronavirus. Coronavirus is a mild flu at best, and probably my guess is between 60 and 90% of the population carry coronavirus already. And so whatever it is, as a flu epidemic, people are, number one, generally not going to get very sick from it, and number two, are probably already immune to it. COVID-19, or what they call SARS-CoV-2, is something very different, and that is the thing that apparently has these people in hospitals unable to breathe and suffocating and being put on respirator machinery inappropriately. They need oxygenation metabolism, oxygen metabolizing therapies, not respiratory therapies. And so the respirator equipment kills them, and they're killing people consistently. You know, something like 90-some percent, I can't remember the exact number, but it was above 90% of people who are dying once they are put onto a respirator, because a respirator is not the right therapy for COVID-19.
Right. Now, that website is GeneNGNews.com, correct?
Let me read that exactly. So Gene, the word Gene, G-E-N-E, NGNews.com.
Yes, okay. That's what I put in the chat room. Okay.
It's just something that I stumbled on a search here, you know, trying to get a little more detailed scientific information on that. But the testing is there's no such thing as reliable testing for this. And if they say you're positive for coronavirus, that has nothing to do with being positive for COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2. So they're playing with these words and throwing out a lot of junk science and trying to get everyone afraid and trying to classify everyone who has coronavirus, which is almost everyone, to classify them as somehow having this much more serious pathogen,
right,
much more serious pathology.
To the point that they're forcing people to wear masks.
Right, right. The mask wearing, to my understanding and by what I've seen, is absolutely ridiculous. It's not helping anyone. It's not stopping any disease. In fact, I don't know if your listeners know about Peggy Hall in Orange County, who has been researching a lot of this and bringing a lot of this forward. And I just saw a video of hers today, which talks about how OSHA, we have this Occupational Safety and Health organization that enforces the workplace standards and limits on different exposures. OSHA says that a cloth mask absolutely does not protect against airborne pathogens, does not protect against disease. It causes disease and ailments on its own, and it is not useful or appropriate for preventing a bacterial or viral infection. And this is OSHA saying this, saying that you may not require an employer, an employee, to wear a cloth mask all day. You may not do it. Well, if you do that, you are endangering your health, and that is a violation of OSHA's policies.
So, and she's from California.
Kudos to Peggy Hall for finding these things.
Right. And that is good for California. But in Illinois, where I reside, you can't go to the post office without a mask. You can't go to the UPS office without a mask. Apparently, there are stores that you cannot go into. It's pretty awful.
Well, that's true in California as well. That's true in California as well. And the authorities in California have not associated OSHA with what they're doing. So they just say, well, you know, you have to wear a mask here and there and the other place and the other time. And nobody has bothered to check OSHA's regulations on that. And that's real convenient for them because apparently they don't want to. Yeah. So it's up to each of us individually to, you know, either try to avoid these places or make some statement when you have to go to these places that this mask thing is not appropriate, it's not legal, it's not effective, and it can make us all sick. And there's going to be, in my view, some kind of syndromes come from this excess mask wearing. I went into a store the other day, and the girl who was working there was wearing a mask, and I said something about, gosh, I'll be glad when we don't have to wear these masks. And she says, you know, I'll be really, really glad because I'm getting lightheaded all the time. And I said to her, if you're getting lightheaded, you're having, you know, negative medical pathology from your mask. I said, you have to tell your employer about that. And she said, oh, no, I've got kids to support. And I went to her HR department, and I said, you know, these people have are talking about getting lightheaded wearing these masks. Is there something you want to do about that? But I couldn't get a hold of anybody who cared or wanted to do anything about it. They were very sort of arrogant and abusive. It's like, why are you bothering us in our office, you know, kind of thing. So, okay, that's the way you want to play it. I feel sorry for that particular clerk because she will have some very negative ramifications from wearing that mask 8 hours a day.
Right, and of course you're breathing your own CO2 and restricting
your
oxygen.
That's why she's lightheaded. You're getting reduced oxygen levels, but you're getting recycled pathogens from yourself. You know, you're concentrating your pathogens in that mask and in that area around your breathing, and that's not a place you want things to collect.
Right. And I said, when I've gone to the post office, I do have a mask. It has a message on it, reducing my oxygen for your comfort. And I just lift it. I don't actually wear it. I lift it, and then when I get right up to the counter, I see these one of the ladies. She wears a mask. She's lifting heavy boxes. She's working. She's running back in the back to get stuff. I'm thinking this. I'm surprised she hasn't passed out.
Yeah, I'm sure it's happening, and obviously the media will not tell us about that. But these masks are obviously uncomfortable, obviously an inconvenience, but also very clearly dangerous to your health in certain ways, and not effective at all in doing what they are supposed to be doing. This is some kind of a psyop, you know, getting everyone to wear masks when the officials certainly have as good information as I do. And for them to be pushing this thing, it's almost like they they sort of came out with this idea. Somebody in a meeting came out with this idea. They all went with it before they really checked it out. And now that they've gone with it, now that it's gone public, they can't save face if they retract the advice or something. It's just like, well, since we told you this, we're just going to double down and tell you it's right, even though now we know it's wrong. I don't know what these public officials are thinking, but it's time to end this, and they're going to learn the hard way if they don't do it.
Right.
And of course, it's going to be at the expense of every one of us.
Right, and of course, it's a matter of obedience. They're obedience training people to do what they're told, and that's pretty sad that there are so many people that are doing it, that are wearing a mask. The only place I wear one is the post office. That's it.
Yeah. This is the problem, is the compliance. And we've got to wake up and realize that these people are not geniuses. They're not scientists. They're not doctors. They're not people who really should be commanding us and issuing orders. And frankly, they don't have legal authority to do so. And we need to question this. And the very sad fact of it is exactly as you say, is the obedience, the compliance. That's what's hurting us because, you know, those of us who understand this problem and understand the medical issues and understand the ineffectiveness and hazards of these masks are outnumbered by these people who are blindly, mindlessly running around with a mask as if they're doing the right thing. And so we're outnumbered, you know, and it's going to be a very, very ugly day when all of these people find out that they've been making a mistake and they've been pressuring the rest of us to do the same inappropriately and unfairly.
And I've seen people actually get angry at others who don't have a mask on, as if they're somehow jeopardizing that person's health. It's terrible.
And you simply say to them when they get angry, can you show me the scientific basis for wearing a mask? Do you know that? Are you a scientist? Are you a doctor? Are you a pathologist? Are you a microbiologist? Are you an immunologist? What are you? Someone whose governor told them to wear a mask, and you think you know that that's right? It's not right.
Well, I just love your attitude. You're terrific.
You know, it's a question of health and safety. And there's a lot of people who are simply going down the wrong road and don't really understand why.
Right. Now, you have covered a lot of issues. You've talked about smart meters, which I've still avoided having one, and they haven't forced me to take. But I have to pay extra.
Yeah.
To have a smart. To,
well, that's
to
called an opt-out, and that's something we don't recommend. I have a website which I mentioned earlier, which is EMFHelpCenter.com. There's a link from our FreedomTaker.com website right at the top. The EMFHelpCenter.com website addresses exactly this and provides a lot of really good information for people who understand that there are hazards and harm with electronic utility meters and that they do need to do something about that and that their utility company will not help them do it. If you go to your utility company and say, I can show you that this radio frequency meter and this digital meter is harmful, it's a fire hazard, it's putting out dirty electricity, which makes you sick, it's putting out RF, which makes you sick, it's a surveillance device violating the Fourth Amendment of the Bill of Rights, you can tell them all this, and they will come back and they will say, well, do you want electricity or not?
Right.
And so what you tell them is, yes, I want it safe and lawful electricity. And, you know, they will write up to you presenting them with a notice of liability, proving that this thing is hazardous and harmful, proving that they are personally liable to pay for your damage. They will still require you to do that as a condition of having your electric service. And so what we did, because back in the old days, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we were able to get people to maintain their electromechanical meter and put off this utility company. Well, now the utility company is just like totally unreasonable, hardball, saying, no, you're going to have your electronic utility meter or you're not going to have electricity. And so what we did was we developed a system, a series of steps of how to mitigate the hazard and harm of the electronic utility meter. And so that you could actually accept not just the opt-out meter, but the actual basic meter they offer. When you accept the opt-out meter, they're requiring you to sign all kinds of things to waive their liability and to sign away your rights in terms of who's going to have to pay for the damage this thing causes. If you look carefully at your opt-out contract, and sometimes they don't even show you the wording. Oh, you want the opt-out contract? Okay, they're doing this on the phone. You don't even see the contract, and you just approved it.
Right.
And they use that telephone call as your signature. And you haven't even seen the contract. The contract says, I hereby waive my right for any damages due to any radiation issues or any other hazard or harm from the meter.
Jerry,
oh, really?
We do need to take a real quick break. We'll be right back.
With FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms or you have a concealed weapon permit and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest for the last 2 hours today is Jerry Day. His websites are jerryday.com and freedomtaker.com. And we were talking about smart meters, and I actually sent my utility company a letter, and that's how I have existed without a smart meter up to this point. But I, in an adjacent community, Naperville, there was a person that attempted to prevent a smart meter installation, and she got into quite a lot of trouble. I think they even put her in jail for a while, and so it's been pretty tough to try to avoid. But you say that there's ways of mitigating this.
Deanna, there were two women arrested on that day in Naperville. One of them sued the police department for false arrest and won something like $100,000. You know, when someone comes onto your property, especially a law enforcement officer, to commit harm, you have got a case. And when they commit arrest in order to force you to accept that harm, you will get a settlement.
Wow.
If you, you know, have competent representation or whatever.
That wasn't publicized at all.
I'm sorry, I don't hear you very well. If you can be a little louder. What was that question?
Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't publicized much about...
Right, of course not.
Yes.
Right.
Interesting. Can you hear me better now?
That's better, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, I sent a letter, and I have avoided having a smart meter installed, but you say that there are ways that you can... I know that there are covers that you can put over them, but are those safe, or would it direct...
The covers, sometimes they call them Faraday cages or screens. They're not
right.
always the best idea. They're not always the best idea, and here's the reason. When you cover your... There's a transmitter in that utility meter, and you're covering it up so that it will be ineffective and not send out radiation. There's two problems. One is the radiation you're covering is the radiation going away from the house, not the radiation
right.
coming in the house. And
right.
the other problem is that it will defeat them getting picking up their data, and that could be termed tampering with your meter, and that's a violation of your easement. What some people do is put that on and maybe put a hole in it so that enough data can get out so they can read it, but it reduces the data. That's a little reduces the RF level. That's a little dangerous because the meters, like your cell phone, are designed that when they can't get a signal, they up their own power to try to get a signal.
Oh.
So what you're doing is you're causing the meter to increase its own power when you defeat it in that way. The best approach we found for shielding is to shield the inside of the house, shield the area between the utility meter and the living spaces, and not shield other areas, and try to let that signal go out. Now, of course, it's not ideal that you have a radio transmitter there and that it's putting out harmful radiation, radio frequencies. But like I say, most people don't have the option, the nuclear option, which is to simply shut off their account and go off-grid solar. And then you do certain things about mitigating the dirty electricity. I can talk about that. But as long as they're threatening to shut off your electricity, if you don't accept the digital meter, then the only reasonable way you can approach that is to just try to reduce and mitigate that. And that's what we're talking about at that website I was talking about at emfhelpcenter.com.
Right.
There's particular steps.
We're at the top of the hour. We will be right back, and we'll pick this up on the other side.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.